Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, founder of the Dementia Whisperers Incorporated. Laura Wayman, nationally recognized expert on dementia and author of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, published by Johns Hopkins University Press, joins you and 16 million caregivers with real answers and help, with love, wisdom, and compassion for your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in at 929-477-1393. That's 929-477-1393. And now, live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Hello, listening audience. Are you caring for a loved one, a resident, or a client who is presenting dementia symptoms and challenging behaviors? Our vision is to open up discussion in order to greatly improve quality of care and excellence in service to individuals with Alzheimer's disease or any dementia and related illnesses, and to lend a reassuring hand to their caregivers and families. This is an interactive call-in show. We want to hear from our listeners. That call-in line is always 929-477-1393. This is Scott Cluthie, and I say hello and welcome to The Dementia Whisperer. It is Laura Wayman. Hello, Laura.
Hello, Scott, and thank you for that wonderful introduction, as always. I'm so honored to be here with you today. And can you take just a minute to tell our listeners about you? I have learned so much about radio and other medias. We had a really fun show recently on Facebook. Tell our listening audience about how you got here, where you are today, and just a little bit about you.
Well, that's very kind of you, Laura. Of course, you well know that I've been working around media and radio specifically for decades. And, of course, I started off in public radio, but it's funny, the reason I got into public radio originally was because of my background in theater. And the idea of bringing theater to radio. But that turned out to be a little more complicated than I thought when I got to public radio. It was enough just to get people organized like a bunch of box of kittens. So I fell naturally toward programming and news and covering news, and I started off covering news there. That bode me well for later in my life working with Metro News and doing live radio on news on three stations at the same time. That was quite a handful, but it really helped me get my radio chops down, being that responsible for a 7.5-minute newscast every hour and having to rewrite it, because those program directors would certainly know if you didn't. They're always listening. So that informational flow context did serve me very well for later in my career when I was responsible as the executive producer and co-writer of talk shows on Sirius Satellite Radio, where we spent the day reading books and creating outlines and context for our great guests that afternoon for 2 hours of live radio coast to coast. So that's a little bit more about my background, and thank you for asking, Laura.
Of course. Like I said, I'm always so honored. You and I, we learn,
yeah.
And that's what we have to do in the whole arena of dementia. So, we learn and we're constantly looking for ways to get this message out. And, of course, this radio show is a perfect example of that. It's a little different way to provide support to caregivers and to help bring about more dementia awareness in the world, which is important to both of us. And so thank you to our listening audiences. The whole purpose of this is to let you know you are not alone. So if you have challenges and worries and concerns or anxieties, or if you want advice, inspiration, and encouragement on your dementia care journey, you've certainly tuned in to the right place today. We understand this is hard, so stay with us. This hour, we can actually take your calls. If you're interested in calling and talking about your journey, listening just about all the newest information from the world of dementia, maybe talk about how to better manage some of these symptoms and to have more realistic expectations about what you can and can't do as a caregiver. That's important. So spend time with us today and learn to understand dementia from a very different perspective, as well as the essential topic of taking care of you, the dementia caregiver. And we talk about that often. This is a very difficult journey, and we want you to know how important you are as the caregiver. So call in with comments or personal stories or questions about your dementia journey. During this next hour, we'd love to hear from you. The phone number is 1-929-477-1393. That's 929-477-1393. And now we're going to go into one of my favorite parts of this show, and that's our news and views from the world of dementia. Scott goes to work and does a lot of research and finds out about current news about aging and dementia awareness. So, Scott, why don't you share a little bit about what you found out this month?
All right, Laura, thank you. And you know, it's fascinating to see the work, especially it seems that Europe seems to really be ahead of us on, you know, on the curve on a lot of, I don't want to call it avant-garde, but let's say cutting-edge research and discipline around dementia and Alzheimer's research. So many of these stories come from Europe, but of course they're applicable to anyone on the journey of dementia throughout the world and Alzheimer's. So we have these to share today. Living in greener neighborhoods is associated with slower cognitive decline in elderly. A new study shows a relationship between neighborhood green space and mental capacity. After following 6,500 people in the UK for over a decade, now, this just came out the 11th of July from the Barcelona Institute for Global Health. Contact with green space is known to have beneficial effects for mental health. A new study by the Barcelona Institute for Global Health, a center supported by the La Caixa Foundation, suggests that it may also play a positive role against cognitive decline in elderly. In particular, the research published in Environmental Health Perspectives shows that the loss in cognitive functions expected as part of the aging process is slightly slower in people who live in greener neighborhoods. Researchers performed a 10-year follow-up of 6,500 people aged 45 to 68 in the UK. At three different time points during the course of the study, participants completed a battery of cognitive tests that assessed their verbal and mathematical reasoning, verbal fluency, and short-term memory, as well as the decline in those functions. Neighborhood green space for each participant was estimated by using satellite images. So another way that new technology is working to help us understand human behavior and growth and so on. Very interesting. There's evidence that the risk to dementia and cognitive decline can be affected by exposure to urban-related environmental hazards like air pollution and noise, and lifestyle such as stress and sedentary behavior. In contrast, living near green spaces has been proposed to increase physical activity and social support, reduce stress, and mitigate exposure to air pollution and noise. Recent evidence has shown cognitive benefits of green space for kids, but studies in older adults had still been very scarce and often have spaces and cognitive decline in older adults have inconsistent results, said one researcher and the first author of that study. Our data shows the decline in the cognitive score after the 10-year follow-up was about 4.6% smaller in participants living in greener neighborhoods. Interestingly enough, the observed associations were stronger in men among women, which makes us think these relations might be modified by gender as well. A brain study paves the way for therapy for common cause of dementia. This is on the 4th of July released. A University of Edinburgh scientists have uncovered a potential approach to treat one of the commonest causes of dementia and stroke in older people. Studies using rats found that treatment can reverse changes in blood vessels in the brain associated with the condition called cerebral small vessel disease. Treatment also prevents damage to brain cells caused by these blood vessel changes, raising hope it could offer a therapy for dementia. Small vessel disease, or SVD, is a major cause of dementia and can also worsen the symptoms of Alzheimer's. It's responsible for almost half of all dementia cases in the UK and a major cause of stroke, accounting for around 1 in 5 cases. A team was led by the University of Edinburgh found that SVD occurs when cells that line the small blood vessels in the brain become dysfunctional. This causes them to secrete a molecule into the brain. The molecule stops production of the protective layer that surrounds brain cells called myelin, and that leads to brain damage. Treating rats with drugs that stop blood vessel cells from becoming dysfunctional reversed the symptoms of SVD and prevented brain damage, the tests found. Researchers say that further studies will need to test whether the treatment also works when the disease is firmly established. They also need to check if the treatment can reverse the symptoms of the dementia. And one of the doctors involved said the findings highlight a promising direction for research into treatments that could limit the damaging effects of blood vessel changes and help keep nerve cells functioning for longer. There are currently no drugs that slow down or stop Alzheimer's disease and no treatments to help people living with vascular dementia. Alzheimer's Research UK is very pleased to have funded that innovative research, which is only possible thanks to the work of their supporters, of course. Interesting story here, treating Alzheimer's with aspirin. Low-dose aspirin regime could reduce Alzheimer's disease pathology. This came out the 2nd of July from the Society of Neuroscience. A low-dose aspirin regime may represent a new avenue for reducing Alzheimer's disease pathology, according to new research in a model of the disease published in J. Neurosco. The study identifies a new role for one of the most widely used medications in the world. Although the exact cause of Alzheimer's disease progression is unknown, impaired clearance of toxic amyloid beta, especially from the hippocampus, is a leading mechanism activating the cellular machinery responsible for removing waste from the brain, has emerged as a promising strategy for slowing the disease. They were building on studies demonstrating a link between aspirin and reduced risk and prevalence of Alzheimer's disease. A group of researchers have shown that this common over-the-counter medication decreases amyloid plaque pathology in mice by stimulating lysosomes, the component of animal cells that help clear cellular debris. The research adds to aspirin's established uses for pain relief and for the treatment of cardiovascular diseases. So that's pretty interesting. And that's what I found in the latest Alzheimer's and dementia news. Laura Wayman, back to you.
Well, those sound pretty hopeful, although I sure would be happy if someone put me out of a job completely and found a cure, some kind of prevention to take care of all these different causes. But there, like we had talked about before, Scott, there's over 100 different causes, and there's lots of research going on, especially for Alzheimer's, the leading cause. But it's like playing whack-a-mole here. We get, even if we had a wonderful, miraculous cure for Alzheimer's, there's still Parkinson's and Lewy body, and like you were just talking about, vascular dementia. We have to figure out how we can keep our brains healthy and safe and keep this from happening. I just wish that every single day. So thanks for that information. Like I said, it gives us a little hope. But we've got a long way to go, don't we? So
yes, we do.
And you always bring interesting and informative articles to share. So today our topic involves learning more about what is transition trauma. And also we're going to talk about a program to help with this. So this is kind of part two and a continuation from our last month's show, because we were interrupted by a power outage. And so we're going to continue with that. And let's go ahead. And Scott, would you please do the introduction for our guest today?
Yes, in fact, it's really great to welcome back a woman who was sharing very personally and very powerfully as well. It's Jocelyn Koffenberg, the Director of Community Relations with American River Companion Care, and we say hello and good evening to Jocelyn. Hi, how are you?
Just fine. How are you guys?
Very well.
We are wonderful, and it's so good to hear your voice. I have had the privilege and the honor of working with Jocelyn for many years, and she is the number one marketer, director of community relations, and she is so passionate and takes such great care of any client that she, clients and other referral partners and people that she works with. She is just an absolute delight. Jocelyn, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into this industry?
Sure. Well, thanks, Laura, for that. And my degree and my background is in sales and marketing, and I've been in the senior care industry for about 15 years now. And I currently, as you mentioned, I am the Director of Community Relations for American River Companion Care. And I just love, love working with families as they navigate this journey of aging. And American River Companion Care is family-owned and operated, and I love that because it really, truly allows us to customize our services to the families. And so I'm just so pleased to be here with you today.
And we had an opportunity to talk with Philip, who is the owner. And and you got to know our listening audience got to know a little bit about him last month, but he truly is one of the most passionate and heartfelt owners, and really wants to do what's best for the clients. And unfortunately, Jocelyn, you have to agree with me that there are some companies out there that don't have our clients' best interest in mind. So
absolutely, absolutely. And also, they don't have the employees' best interest, and I think that sets us apart too. We do provide independence for our clients, and we provide peace of mind for the families through our non-medical in-home care, but we definitely pride ourselves on having some of the best caregivers in the Valley, and we treat them very well, and this allows us to have a low turnover, and it gives the families and our clients a lot of consistency. And that really is due to Philip and his philosophies.
That is so true. And also, I know you'll agree with the fact that helping the caregivers have more skill, a better skill set, educate them, help them to be dementia aware, that's what also gives them that pride in their career, in their caregiving ability. And I personally have trained your caregivers. It was such a wonderful experience because it was a group of very engaged, very caring individuals who wanted to be better at dementia care, who truly came to that training with an open heart. And I have seen the consequences of that as you and I have worked together with some of the challenges that we've had with clients, because I unfortunately don't always bring the easiest clients. I bring the ones that are that no one else can help. And so it's important that they recognize, you know, we're taking on these challenges that no one else wants. You know, we can't cherry pick. And so I have to say American River Companion Care and working with Jocelyn has been such a great experience. Thank you so much for that. So, Jocelyn, if you're ready, let's get right to it and discuss our very special program, our partnership together to provide transition trauma care to families in need. So we talked a little bit about this last month, but let's help our listeners to understand. Can you give them an idea? What is transition trauma? What do we mean by that?
Well, sure. So moving is difficult for anyone, really. But for people with dementia, transitioning to a new home, particularly a memory care community, can be especially difficult. It's a lot of new information that they can't process. And sometimes they feel abandoned or confused. Sometimes they even have combative behaviors. So we really work together with the family and the client in the beginning to come into their home that they currently reside in and get to know them and their habits and their triggers and really provide that one-on-one care and then help them through the move, the transition to their new home, to continue to provide that one-on-one care during the initial stages of that move to help alleviate some of those things we talked about, confusion, them being combative or feeling abandoned. It helps to alleviate that and make for a much more successful transition.
And let's help our listening audience to understand that sometimes when a move like this is necessary, because wherever that person, that individual who is experiencing dementia symptoms, they have advanced to a point where staying in their own home is not appropriate care for them. And there could be lots of different reasons why this is happening. It could be the environment. Maybe it's just simply not safe for them. It could be that the caregiver who is providing them with care in the home has to continue working, can't be there 24 hours a day. Maybe they have their own health issues. But when that decision is made, which is a difficult decision, then often family members start to look for a dementia care environment, and that could be memory care, it could be standalone memory care, whatever it is. So they decide they're going to bring them to a community that provides this type of care. That means they have to move from their own home and make their home in a memory care environment, which often happens. It's challenging, it's difficult, but often very, very necessary. But what I have found is that family members who are not educated to be dementia aware come with very unrealistic expectations about what they're going to receive at that community, because generally speaking, they are not going to get one-on-one care. The caregivers, the staff that is there, have several other residents whom they care for, and it is 24-hour care. That's necessary. But they have different shifts of caregivers coming in, and that, generally speaking, once that person has become more familiar and gotten through this transition trauma, that, generally speaking, is fine. That's what they need. It is appropriate. But during the transition trauma, when they're having to learn this, they're frightened, they're lonely, they feel abandoned, that's when they need the one-on-one care. And so this program of providing transition care is basically what we're talking about, because American River and Jocelyn and her wonderful staff, what happens is we give that person for those first few days or a week or two, we give them that one-on-one companionship that they need. So it is not just helpful for the family. It's helpful for the actual community, too, because we're giving the staff there the opportunity to get to know that person while they have this companion who is helping them to provide the one-on-one care, so that they can also, the staff can also take care of other residents. So it's providing more support for the actual community. Plus, we're going to talk about all the benefits that this provides for the family member as well as that individual with dementia symptoms. So we have some wonderful success stories about how this has really helped, and not just with transition trauma. This can be so helpful when there's a resident who is living in a dementia care community. They may have been there for several months, actually, and then they have another loss of normal brain function, and we see a brand new behavior that we're challenged with. And so we can help with anxiety and even combativeness and aggressiveness if we see something new crop up, too. So we're going to talk about that as well here. Today we're just going to talk about possible scenarios, success stories that we've had, and how this is so necessary as an overall approach for what we believe everyone should be doing. So do you agree with that, Jocelyn?
Absolutely, wholeheartedly. We've seen so many times when a particular client of ours does reach the time that they need to make the move to a memory care community, and we are in a position of helping the family find that community, and we do that very carefully. We want a community that understands transition trauma and understands the benefits of working with you, Laura, and your training, and working with our caregivers to then help that client make a successful move. And we've seen it be so beneficial to them that they perhaps may not have been successful in their new community without the help of that one-on-one and without the help of your training. And it also gives so much support to the families as far as education so that they understand what is appropriate for their loved one and how they're being cared for and kind of have that peace of mind.
And we work together to kind of pave the road, because sometimes this can be a one-lane gravel bumpy road, and we work together to smooth that out with what I call a creative intervention. And when we come back from our break, I'm going to tell a little story. I'm not going to use names because I want to keep this more anonymous, but I'm going to tell a little story of someone who right this very moment, Jocelyn and I are working on a very creative intervention, helping with transition trauma, and helping this wonderful, wonderful client feel better about a move that can be extremely frightening if we don't help, like I said, pave the way with dementia awareness for the family, training for the caregiver who is in the home, training the staff for when that person arrives at their new community, and helping that person stay in the feelings of love, safety, security, and value that we want someone with dementia to stay in, because I want to remind our listening audience the feelings remain even if they begin to have difficulty processing those feelings with loss of normal brain function and dementia symptoms. So we're halfway through the show already, and if Scott could take us into the break, when we come back, we're going to dive a little deeper into what we mean by helping someone with transition trauma from start to finish and share some success stories. So, Scott, would you mind taking us to the break?
Absolutely, Laura Wayman. And remind you folks that when you do call in, we'd love to hear from you live call-ins. You will receive a copy of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, Making Meaningful Connections with the Person Who Has Alzheimer's Disease or Other Dementia or Memory Loss, the bestseller from Johns Hopkins University Press, now out in the second edition. Find out more at laurawayman.com and find out about her personal consultation for you or your family, or to have her as a speaker or a consultant at your facility, all very important. And we'll come back with more after the break with our guest today, Jocelyn Kaufenberg, a Director of Community Relations with American River Companion Care. So do stay with us, won't you? You're listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in with your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Call 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much, for taking me out to the park, for reading me books, for
taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot in ballet rehearsal,
for leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom, for having the chance to take you to the park, for reading you those books we enjoy so much, for being able to take you to your therapies after you twisted your ankle, for understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. And in your new role, we help you help. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to get practical health and wellness tips to provide even better care for your loved one. Remember, visit aarp.org/caregiving. AARP, we help you help. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 4 number one albums. 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 7 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Autism Speaks, it's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Call in at 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. And now, Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. Welcome back to Live with the Dementia Whisperer here on Blog Talk Radio, co-host Scott Cluthy, and we return to our great guest today, Jocelyn Kaufenberg, along with Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. Hello, Laura.
Hello. Thanks, Scott. And once again, I'm always so excited to be a part of you. You are really my mentor when it comes to all of these different medias, and we just have a great time together, so thanks for being you. I want to continue talking about our Dementia Transitions team that we have partnered together at American River Companion Care and myself, the Dementia Whisperer. And so let me talk a little bit about, and Jocelyn, be sure and jump in and help tell this story because you've been very much a part of this. But I have a family member who came to me, and her mom is living independently but has quite a few advanced dementia symptoms. She really is needing more appropriate care because she's not able to safely care for herself in her home like she used to, which is always very sad and very difficult. Her mom is struggling with some of the basic things that some of the basic access to normal brain function that causes us to feel like that she's not safe in her home again. So we actually accessed help from Jocelyn's company, American River Companion Care, and we got a caregiver to come in because we have decided together with the family, and let Jocelyn know this, that we're moving to a memory care community nearby, and in the meantime, we needed one of Jocelyn's caregivers to come over and just make sure that mom was safe while we're waiting for this move to happen, while we're making a good, smooth transition plan. And so the caregiver is very familiar with this particular community that is going to be providing the dementia care where this lady is moving. And so she came in on that first day and just started really talking this place up because this particular lady had gone to visit and was very sad and depressed that she might have to move there. And we immediately recognized that we needed to help her to have more feelings of value with this move because she was just sad that this had happened to her, which is pretty common. And so this particular caregiver that was trained by me from American River went in and just started talking it up. And then we, together with the family, went back to this community and said, how can we make her feel a little bit more excited about this move? And I believe, Jocelyn, you can help me with this. They came up with a plan that this woman received this letter from this community that she had won a membership or something like that. Wasn't that how it went?
Yes. So this particular woman was very educated and had a very successful career, and that had always been very much a part of her identity and important to her. And along with her family, kind of came up with the plan that rather than having her feel like she had to move to this community, but more like she was being asked to join something, to join a particular elite group of people. And so they came up with the idea that they would send a letter and invite her and her family to come to dinner and to meet with them, and then actually sent her a letter and said that she had been chosen and she had actually received a lifetime membership to this particular community. So she started looking at it completely different, as if this was an honor and a special privilege
rather than more of a punishment or something that she didn't want to do. So now she's very excited about going.
And your caregiver is going to help with the whole transition, help with the move, help by being physically
Absolutely.
There.
Yep.
So she will have that friendly face who's going to be her ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
I just get so excited because actually this particular potential resident has asked to move up her move date 2 weeks. She didn't
yes.
want to wait the 2 weeks. She wants to get this going now. And that
That's
is
so great.
So atypical when we're trying to
yes.
move somebody with dementia because usually they're so resistant, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it scares them. It's overwhelming. It's too much information. But by
mm-hmm.
taking a little time to do this creative intervention, it has helped not just that person who is making the move, but the family feel better about it, feel less guilty about imposing
Absolutely.
This horrible threat. And I am just so proud of this family. They just took this all to heart, have worked together with all of us. It's
mm-hmm.
it's like, you know, the cavalry has arrived. We've circled the wagons. We've paved the road to make this difficult decision. Now, it's not to say that she will still not feel overwhelmed when we get there, but we're going to take
sure.
that a step at a time because we can't stop, fix, or change all of this loss. But what we can do is, as a whole, as a community, as the world, we can figure out ways to better manage it. That's what we're doing. And thank you so much, Jocelyn, for this help. And, you know, we have another challenge with someone who has extreme behaviors in another one of
mm-hmm.
the communities that I work with.
Yes.
And so Jocelyn got the perfect person to help with that for now until we can figure out some other way to help with maybe some medications where we have to change the care approach. You know, we have to make sure she's
right.
in the right environment, all of those things. So that one is a challenge too.
Yeah.
We just put our heads together, and that's what we have to do. So
yes, get creative.
Exactly, get creative, and to stop thinking that just because we used to do it this way and it used to work means that that's how we should do it all the time. We've got to get rid of that whole good old boys mentality and be open to having me come in and have a fresh set of eyes and different training. You know, we've also come upon some resistance from some communities who say, oh, no, you can't come in here and train. We have our own training. And I want people to hear this. I don't want to say that if I'm coming to help that I'm saying that they're not good. What I'm saying is that I can probably help enhance their very credible care and make it incredible. And why would you not want to have one more set of eyes and ears and perspective? So I have a very hard time understanding that. You know, Jocelyn and I have talked about this. There are people who resist getting help. I don't get it. I have to have help. Everyone needs help. And I learn something new every day. So
absolutely. And I think the communities are one of the added benefits to the communities is once they realize how much support is given to the families and how comforting it is to the families to know that they have this trained caregiver kind of as a liaison, kind of as their eyes watching their loved one transition and making sure it's going well, the families are happier and their whole experience with the community is better. So it truly enhances their opinion of the community and really helps the community in that way as well.
Absolutely. You know, the benefits just to the community, if we just talk about that, let's talk about some of these benefits. You know, that resident adjusts better if we can get that resident to adjust better, then it lowers the turnover rate for new residents. And isn't that a challenge for these communities? They, you know, they lose residents because it's not appropriate. So we can help them by giving the appropriate training. You know, it's less time needed for staff to spend with these new residents.
Absolutely. It's not such a drain on their staff. Exactly.
Yes, because like we talked about, when a new resident first comes into the community, often they are very overwhelmed with all the information. Where do I go next? What do I do? And they do need that one-on-one supervision at the beginning until it can become somewhat familiar for them. So it eases the staff burden. And
right.
At first, you and I talked about this. At first we thought, well, if we send in a caregiver who's just with this one resident and the other staff there has the burden of many others, I wonder if it would make them feel resentful. But we haven't seen that at all. We have seen that they appreciate the help.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. I was going to say, oftentimes they welcome the knowledge that the caregivers have of this person's, particular likes and dislikes and triggers and things that have worked in the past with them when they do see behaviors presenting. They really welcome that because it helps them to then take over the care in a much more smooth way.
It also helps the family member have someone that they can engage in trust to find more information and to help guide that the whole staff as a whole. Mm-hmm. Plus, communities need to hear this. This is a new source of referrals for your community. Jocelyn and I have many clients that will be needing this in the future, and we're going to think of those communities that are willing to work with us. And so why would they not want that?
Absolutely.
It is so great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. With dementia being progressive, so many of our clients come to us in the early stages, and then as it progresses, there are times when it's just no longer appropriate to be in their home. It could be, like you said, for a number of reasons. Sometimes it's simply financial even. But at that point, then, we do really look for trusted partners to then recommend to the families when they do get ready to make that move.
Yes, and it gives so many benefits as well to the family members, because aging as a whole is a journey with many ups and downs, right? And each one, they require unique and challenging decisions made all the time. Those family members come to us and they're exhausted. Well, they may have had you in the home for many months, and now they have to make another decision because mom has advanced in her needs. And maybe, it could be, like we had talked about, environment. It could be financial decisions that have to be made. It could be that the caregiver simply needs more help because this is so overwhelming. So when they have to take that next step, if they utilize our program, it's going to help smooth out a lot of these bumps along the way. So once they're settled in that new home, then, like we had talked about, that team member can help the staff prepare to take over the care. So we're going to pass the baton, and it's going to give everyone a peace of mind that that individual, that loved one, that new client may not need that one-on-one supervision any longer because we've given them everything. We've front-loaded everything they needed over those first few days, first week, or couple of weeks. So,
absolutely.
So together, Jocelyn and I lay out this care plan about what is going to be needed, planning and implementing transition into this new home with creative interventions, with education, and we become the advocates for and who is familiar, the friend of the family, to help everyone be kind of on the same page. So we've seen that not work well when communities are not willing to work with us, and it makes it so much more of an upheaval, you know, when we don't preload this information for the family members. I mean, the family members can be quite shocked at how, I'm going to use a really strong word, how violent someone can react if they're frightened and scared when a move like this has to be made. So,
of course, yeah.
So,
and in extreme cases, I think we can avoid this particular loved one having to make a second move. And that is the goal, that we can get them settled in their new home and that they'd be successful in their new community.
Right. It's hard enough if they are having to come from their own home. And then we move them somewhere and it's not managed properly. And there are some other things that are kind of operational challenges when it comes to dementia care, because everyone has to remain safe and secure, even other residents. And if we have a new resident who is frightened and strikes out at an innocent other resident and and hurts them or is there some kind of injury, then licensing can get involved and actually make that person leave. And so we want to keep that from happening as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is the goal. And that is, you know, just so traumatic to not only the client but to the families if that happens. So that can be avoided, like you said, if we're preloading all of these programs and they're all in place to make the transition smoother.
We are, once again, working with a challenge that has come up with a new resident in one of the memory care where Jocelyn and I have worked in the past. And with this particular client, the behavior that was so challenging is that she would not stay still. In her dementia, she has extreme anxiety, and if she still, I think the world just kind of falls in on her. And so if you keep her moving in the wheelchair or keep her walking forward, that helps her to stay calm. But the minute you stop, then she starts to yell, I need to go. We have to go. I need to go. And so the staff was doing everything they can. Now think about this scenario, because somebody was having to push her in a wheelchair, keep her constantly moving, and so while they're doing that, they can't help anyone else. And so it was actually taking a staff member off the floor, out of the whole care venue, because they were having to keep her moving all the time. And this is 24 hours a day. She was not sleeping more than 45 minutes at a time. And then she was up and asking to go again. And although the staff was doing everything they could, they simply did not have the manpower to come and get that done. So my suggestion when they asked for my help was, okay, well, let's call. And, of course, we're calling on a Friday afternoon. And so I'm calling American River, and Nancy over at American River, she was just right on it. She helped me. She got somebody there within 2 hours. We set it up. But this is the challenge to the family members. It always breaks my heart, because then the family members are, this is just something that happens sometimes. Their family members are paying for the care at the community. So they're paying the rent and the care, and then they have to pay additional for American River to come in, and so they have to pay per hour for this. And so it was becoming quite a burden for them, because she needed this one-on-one care, and we were trying to stretch it out and just have it when for short amounts of time. And so then she actually got sent to the hospital, and they tried to some different medications. I'm going to tell you, it's been my I've observed that there just aren't any medications that are going to stop, fix, or change this. We just have to do it with the care approach, and, you know, just keep her rolling along in the wheelchair, because that's all we could do. And so now we're back at a point where we haven't been able to find medications that balance this out. So once again, we're back at a point where they're having American River come, and we are just looking for other options and other resources, and I am working with other people to see what other ideas we might have for this one. So I always like to let family members know, I may not have the answer. I probably don't have a answer, but what I'm going to do is give us lots of options and help support you to manage it. And this is just so unbelievably difficult and challenging, but I get the wonderful opportunity to work with people like Jocelyn, to work with organizations like American River and some of these other communities that I work with on a regular basis. And we just want our listening audience to know we are here for you. This can be quite a bumpy road, and we're just going to figure it out together. I am so lucky to be able to do that. So when we talk about this specially trained caregiver, Justin, you want to talk a little bit more about the kinds of training that your staff gets? I mean, they get all different kinds of training. Besides me, they get lots of other training. They're very well trained, and that's not always required, is it?
No. I mean, there are requirements through the state for minimal training, and that is kind of a baseline. But then we do additional training because there's, you know, just such a wide array of services that we provide. Each family has their own set of needs, and we try to fill in those gaps for the family caregivers. And we do hospice training. We do a lot of durable medical equipment training, such as like Hoyer lifts and gait belts, so that we can safely transfer our clients. We do bereavement training for the caregivers, because oftentimes they are in a situation where they are working with clients at the end of life. Then, of course, we do dementia training with you, Laura, and that is above and beyond what most agencies do. Most agencies do not have dementia-aware caregivers, which is amazing because a large majority of the people we work with have some form of dementia. So it's always surprising to me that they don't have a program in place to train their caregivers to make them dementia aware.
Well, statistics are pretty shocking because 50% of those over the age of 70 have some cause of dementia symptoms. So that's one out of two of our clients. And actually, I'm seeing that it's actually much more than that. I mean, that is a conservative statistic. So when the family members recognize that, then they have a better idea of why they should be dementia aware themselves, so that they can ask for options such as you, such as the communities that we work with and the communities I work with all across the United States, to ensure that we help the world become dementia aware. It's so surprising when I talk with family members and let them know that there are even people in the medical field, physicians and nurses, that are not necessarily dementia aware. They have a much more educated perspective of dementia in a clinical sense, but not what we're talking about a care approach, a bedside manner, a way to connect and communicate with somebody who has loss of normal brain function. All of that still has to be trained in the entire medical community. As a matter of fact, I get much more resistance from the medical community than I do from the non-medical community about
this. Yes, yes.
So
many of them don't know to talk to their feelings, and I think that's something so important that you have taught me and you have taught our caregivers is feelings remain, and that's a big part of what's missing, I think, in the clinical side of it.
Yeah, because they can't quantify that. They can't take a blood pressure and know what feelings are remaining. They can't listen to their heartbeat. And they can't give them any medication for that either. So,
no.
You know, I certainly don't want to throw the medical community under the bus. I just would like to challenge them a little bit to be a little more open to becoming dementia aware. And I think it would help so much. I often ask when I'm doing a presentation, I'll ask family caregivers if there are many of them as participants, I'll say, wouldn't the world be so much easier for us to navigate as caregivers, especially if we're caring for someone with a loved one with any cause of dementia, wouldn't it be so much easier to navigate if every doctor, every nurse, every fireman, every policeman, every cashier, if they were all dementia aware? And I'll say, especially, let's think about our trips to the emergency room, and everyone just goes, yes, please help the doctors and nurses in an emergency room to better understand dementia. And that is something else that we can offer together. If your loved one is in a community, a dementia care community, and they are having many trips to the emergency room, and there's some behaviors that are causing that to happen, then hiring a caregiver from American River to be with them to help answer the questions at that doctor visit, at that emergency room visit. If you can have someone that's familiar to them, if you as a family member are not able to do that, that's another service that is much needed and can be provided by caregivers that are trained to do that. So thinking about that is something else, because often in a community, they can't leave the floor to go with that person as much as we need them to. They can't do that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we are all, as always, we are almost out of time. So, Jocelyn, could you please give our listening audience, and they can run and get a pencil and some paper, could you give them some contact information so that they could call and talk to you about this very special program or anything, any of the other specialized programs and services that you can provide at American River?
Absolutely. Well, they can always email me. My email is J. Koffenberg. I'll spell that for you. That's my last name. J. K-A-U-F-E-N, B as in boy, E-R-G as in girl, at A-R-H-C-S-A-C.com. And then they can also go to American River Companion Care. com, and they can look us up. That's our website. And then they can always call either my cell phone or the office. And my phone number is 916-926-3069. And the office direct number is 916-242-2200. And someone always takes the phone home from the office, and I always have my cell phone. So they can call anytime. And we can give them information, set up an assessment if they do want to move forward with some in-home care. And even give them, I've had families call me even just to say, hey, what do you think about this community? Or my mom has to go to a skilled nursing. What do you think about this place? And we're happy to offer any information that is senior-related to help them along their journey.
And I would suggest that you get a hold of Jocelyn. Talk to her about some of your needs now rather than waiting until there's a crisis. And we are very aware of crises, work in a crisis situation all the time. But the more you educate yourself and have these ready to go, these kinds of things ready to go, the easier it's going to be when that crisis happens. So give us a call. Talk about what's going on now. You may not need her yet. But it's always good to start building your village, because it takes a village to care for someone with dementia. I do want to always offer myself as a consultant. You can get a hold of me. My cell phone number is my personal cell. When you call, you will reach me, and that is 916-792-7512. Or you can email me. Help, H-E-L-P, at laurawayman.com. Or you can visit my website, laurawayman.com, and find out more about me and events where I am speaking or presenting or training. You can go on my events page. You can download this particular radio show. You can download it as a podcast and listen to it over and over again. And you can always call us live on the show. Our closing thoughts today, and thank you so much, Jocelyn, for being with me today. You just make me feel, you make me feel safe and secure because you are so wonderful.
Thank you for
our
having
closing,
me.
Oh, you are so welcome. Our closing thought for today is a thought from the perspective of someone who has dementia. It is, I have dementia. My eyes do see. My ears do hear. I am still me, so let's be close. My memory may fade, my walk may slow. I am me inside, don't let me go. It is so true. So thank you for joining us today. We recognize it takes courage to reach out for help. And I want to thank Scott, as always. Thanks for being here. He is my dementia buddy. And so if you would like to close us out, Scott, thank you so much. And we will be back next month with a very special show. So everyone tune in.
Absolutely. We're going to take some virtual tours here on the Dementia Whisperer with Laura Wayman. And don't forget the DVD, the Encyclopedia of Dementia, available at laurawayman.com. Find out about our personal consultations for you and your family, your loved ones, working with your facility, and, of course, as a public speaker to large organizations, which happens quite often with Laura Wayman's World, and get her book from Johns Hopkins University Press. It's in the second edition, A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, Making Meaningful Connections with the Person Who Has Alzheimer's Disease or Other Dementia or Memory Loss. Till then, take care, be kind, and have a great evening, everyone. Thanks for listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer.
You've been listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, featuring Laura Wayman. Get your copy of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care and connect with Laura at laurawayman.com and join the Dementia Whisperer's newsletter. Send email questions, ideas, and comments to help@laurawayman.com and join Laura Wayman on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. This is Scott Cluthy, co-host and executive producer. Join us next time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman.